Okay. So we'll be talking today about the higher self. We're doing a workshop on it later. But obviously I wanted to talk a little bit first about what it actually is and some other things about it so people get the idea for where this is going. So I've had a few questions already. Like somebody's asked if there's a difference between the soul and the higher self. Well, yes, there is. So we need to explain a bit about the kind of hierarchy of energy, how these things work. And also, it might vary what people call a higher self. I mean, there's lots of things that are higher than ourselves. So what do we actually mean? Actually, the name we use for higher self, that actually comes from the Kuna concept of what they call the Omakua, which actually meant the totally trustworthy spirit. It's that part of you that's in touch most with the source, is everywhere and everything at the same time and every time. And so therefore it's your ultimate link to the source, therefore it's just totally trustworthy and do everything. So this is actually beyond the kind of soul and spirit as well. So I'll try and explain in a couple of different angles about how the hierarchy of energy works. So first of all, I want to describe our consciousness like a pond full of frog spawn. Not a very glamorous image, but it's a very workable one. You consider each little dot has a jelly around it. The little dot is you, one lifetime. The jelly around it is the subconscious. It tends to be sticky. It separates from the other lifetimes and actually picks everything up. So in this pond, there's loads of like frog spawn. They're all like different lifetimes. We say the pond is a whole higher self. It's like there's many bits of a self. It's separated by a subconscious around it, which contains you and a child, your ego, and all the other bits that you don't consciously look at all the time. And all the stored memories and everything of that lifetime. But the whole pond is full of these little bits of different lifetimes. But actually, that's not all that's in the pond. If you look at it, it's like, yes, there's a lot more than just the fox spawn. So each of these little dots is like one lifetime, which has its own subconscious. Surrounding in the waters, you've got the soul and spirit, which tend upon each lifetime. It's only one soul and spirit that will be a lifetime. That doesn't change. They tend upon each lifetime to actually look after you in a way. The soul could be seen as more feminine in its nature. It's not the same as the anima, but it's more feminine because it holds the depth for your feeling, depth for self. Whereas the spirit is a bit more masculine, outgoing, a bit which soars and reaches and stretches higher. Yet all that is contained within this one thing of the higher self. These are all parts of it. So in a way, both soul and spirit are within the higher self. Those are also separate from your individual lifetimes. We have one soul and spirit watching over all our lifetimes, but the whole thing is our higher self. Also, they have a different place in our energy field. If you look how the chakras work, for instance, first of all, you know your seven chakras. We have an eighth one below the feet, which is controls the aura. The ninth one above the head somewhere is that of the etheric body. 10th one, a bit further up, is that of the truer self. 11th chakra is that of the soul and the spirit. And 12th chakra, which is even higher, is that of the higher self. So you see, this is a higher level than the soul and spirit. That'll give you an idea of actually where they fit in the hierarchy. So this idea, the Kuna's work with the Omakua, the soul is actually above the head because this is where the 12th chakra is. It's not actually in time and space, but since you have access to the 12th chakra, the techniques involved actually going up there to actually connect with it. Because that chakra is actually that of our higher self. It's that which is beyond truer self, all our unconscious soul, spirit, and all those things to actually get it more in a bigger part of ourself. Because obviously when we come from source, we don't separate in one go because it's too much of a shock. We're doing stages. Same way as Indra and back, a bit of a shock to go from here into that pure awareness of oneness. We need to actually integrate each stage to understand how we expand and grow. So when we start to grow, obviously we want to grow into a higher self before we try and reach oneness with God. Right now, we don't even understand what God is. It's ineffable by its nature. It's undefinable, adimensional. Our main task now is to come under the higher self. That's a part of us which is everywhere and everything, beyond all time and space, which has all memory. It knows everything about us and all our different lifetimes, all our experiences, all our potential, our power, where we can go, what we can create. This is what we need to make one with first, because this is where it's more practical to work with now, to actually move forward from where we are now. Also, to actually master this life, we're not here just to run away from it. A lot of people think meditation is about going off on the mountaintop somewhere and avoiding life. No, this is our playground. This is where we have our lessons. This is where we get our feedback. The whole world around us, time and space, all provide a feedback system. If you want to know how you're doing, you look at the life around you. That shows you how you're doing. It's all a reflection of what's inside. So when you're actually mastering self, you master your life. So part of the whole process of being here is to actually learn to create your reality. And also part of that to learn to have fun. This is something people miss on. They don't consider fun to be a big goal. As if we have the more serious things to do. But actually everything's illusion. Why should it be serious? As I pointed out often in the healing course, seriousness is the glue that holds the illusion together. If you want to actually be beyond the illusion, we can't make it too serious because it's not real. So where does fun fit in? Well, we find fun in expanding ourselves, don't we? What's really fun? When people are seeking joy, quite often they're still going back to the childhood state of what it's like. Go and have a party some more. You know, back then it was ice cream and jelly, and now it's alcohol and other things. But it's like, it's not really fun after a while because it's no challenge anymore. You get bored of it or you're getting into addiction. The thing is, any pleasure that's not raised to conscious, to joy, to conscious awareness becomes addiction. A pleasure has to become a joy only through conscious awareness, otherwise it becomes addiction. What really gives us joy is that expansion of self. Where we become more, where we do something we couldn't do before, where we achieve something new, achieve new goals. It's all expanding self. That's where the fun is. So if we're here to have fun, notice this does come before the fact that we come to expand ourselves. We're only expanding ourselves because it's fun. If we were one with everything in the first place, why would we separate just to get back there? It's a bit like when you're on the seashore and you want to go out surfing. What's the purpose? To get back again. Well, why go in the first place? Basically, it's the fun of, it's not necessarily the biggest wave, but the one that's going to stretch a bit more to come more. That's where the fun is, the expansion of self. That's where we go there. Same way we come into this incarnation, into this limitation, this illusion to have fun. We do that by expanding ourselves, finding our abilities and stretching them. We've created limitation, now we have to stretch those to the full, expand them to become more. See, when you're everything, there's no nothing, there's no definition. When you're God, there's no definition of anything. Once you have a creation, you have boundaries, you have limits. The limits are not always bad. You know, this body's limitation. It can only do so much, but I can expand upon that and become stronger, do more. That's where the fun is. Not just the body, but the emotions, the mind, everything that we use, all tools. None of them who I am. I'm not my body. I'm not my mind either. These are tools I use. They can all become more, so I can achieve more. That's where the expansion is. When we become more intimate with the higher self, we're actually going beyond the illusion. We get in touch with the love. Because what purpose does a higher self have? Well, we don't know that. We're here to become one with the higher self. When we get there, then maybe become one with the God. But right now, it's like our higher self is there already where we want to get to, in that great place of expansion, of joy and power. We can do anything. And so by becoming one with that, there's challenges on the way. Because the challenges make us stronger. We stretch ourselves and become more. So constantly increasing our power. And through that process, constantly crafting the life we want. When we create one thing, we create another. It's more challenges. We create more and more and more. We improve upon life all the time. There's a little poem I got many years ago from one of the goddesses who came in, which is a good description of the whole path. When the serpents dance, the stones will sing. Within the mysterious metaphor, the search for oneness will begin. Crafting the life we wanted, a never-ending dance, is the magician's response to the longing for romance. What romance actually means in this case, what it means in general, is a love that's filled with sensation. Love alone isn't enough. We want to experience, we want to feel. So the romance is a love filled with sensation. With the creation of your reality all the time, that joy of creation is a romance. So the magician's response to the longing for romance we all have is that constant crafting of your life. This is what our higher self is doing with us. When we understand that process, we're expanding and becoming more. Each step we can close to our higher self, because our higher self is everything. It's an infinite power. So each step of creation is almost a co-creation, bringing us close to our higher self, if we bring it in. If you're struggling alone to create it by yourself, you don't notice your higher self. You don't even know where you can get to. You only have limited dreams. The higher self doesn't have limitations. It can dream big because it knows it can get there. On our own, we often fall into things, oh, well, this is too much. I'll stick to the small dreams. That's not how it's meant to be. There's not much fun in the small dreams, is there? There's some, but not as much. Of course, if you're a big dreamer but don't believe in it, that's not much fun either, because you get frustration. You want to get there and don't feel you can. When we connecting with our higher self, we're expanding ourselves more because we're getting close to that bigger part of ourselves. So whenever we kind of do a co-creation with our higher self, we're letting more of that power in to achieve more. And in that process of becoming more, we're becoming more of our higher self, because that's ultimately where we're going. So the original purpose of getting in touch with the higher self is simply to let in the love, because that's what changes you. When you're changed by love, you become more. The problem with letting love in is people feel vulnerable because they're not in control of how they're changing. Exactly how it is, you're vulnerable. Love changes you. To be vulnerable to love is to change because you're loved. You don't know how you're going to change, but you have to trust it's better. You're becoming more. That's what we're here for. You don't necessarily know what you're going to become, but you're becoming more. You don't know how much more you become until you get there. Each time you get close to your higher self, you get expanding more of your potential, finding more of your power. So you're becoming more, constantly changing, or rather let yourself be changed by the love. So the whole relationship with the higher self is one of love, basically. You connect with the higher self, letting the love, co-creating with them, let them actually help you create your reality, help you create your dreams. This is where people get into other limitations about this. They think, well, why would somebody else be there for me? You know, they're so much into this pattern of struggling alone, they don't think the universe can give them wonderful things that'll make it easier. Well, why not? We are creator. After all, we created it all. Life was never meant to be this painful. When we forgot to the support we have, it became a great struggle. Now, struggle is quite different from challenge. Challenge is there to make us more. Struggle grinds you down. That's not where we're meant to be. When we connect with our higher selves, there's greater hope, greater expectation, greater trust that we can get there, and more joy in facing those challenges. When you've been trodden down so much, you don't like challenge anymore. You want everything to be easy. But that's not being alive. The higher self doesn't work that way. The higher self is not going to give you an easy life. It's going to make you stronger, so you actually can face every challenge and grow more and more and more. It does it with love. And love has many expressions, even tough love. But with the higher self, you can trust you're going somewhere. You're becoming more. That's what it's about. Okay, let's start going over to questions. What have we got so far?
Hello, everyone. I'm here.
Oh, she's back.
Oh, great. She's back.
I just joined late. Yeah, apologies, everybody. So if anyone has any questions, then please do, as always, let us know in the chat. And then I will go over to the first question, which is, could you please spell the Hawaiian name for the higher self?
Yep.
And at what level in the hierarchy is the Asmat Kodam of ourselves? Thank you, please, very much.
Okay, first of all, it's the Omakua, so it's written there, which means totally trust with the spirit. Now, Asmat Kodam isn't your higher self, but it's connected to it. Sorry, I'll do this again. You see, we all have an individual Kodam, first of all. You can get many Kodams. A Kodam simply means a servant, a Arabic name. It comes basically from Islamic traditions, that we have a being there that's there to help us. I'm saying this is what a lot of people miss, so I don't think something's there just for you. I think everything has a catch. Well, no, the higher self is, first of all about you, because it is greater you. He wants to bring you back into that great love and power. He wants to come make whole again. Kodams work with that. They can almost be seen as individualized aspects of the higher self. As I said, we've divided into many bits. When we first were one with everything, okay, there's no separation, but there's no definition. When we come into this simple limit form, we leave power outside ourselves. We start dividing that in many different layers. You can see as everything is one, but you can also see stepping stones. So within our higher selves, there are different individual expressions. So the Kodam is almost like a separate from the soul and spirit again, but also within the higher self. Something which is added to the soul and spirit from the higher self, which gives you more support there to actually do some of the work for you. The higher self isn't actually there to do it for you, it's there to co-create. As you become close to your higher self, you gain more power and you co-create with it. The Kodam is another piece where the power is still separate from you. We can ask it to do things for you because you still feel separate. So in the state of separation, we still need helpers. We left the power outside ourselves, but hopefully that power should be helping us rather than being a problem for us. When people actually define these outside gods and things as troublesome, then your power is turned against you. When you have spirits out there which are helpful to you, then it's okay. It doesn't matter you're separated because you've got things looking after you. That's what the Koden does. It's not the higher self, but it's within the higher self. It's an individualized aspect that's there to protect you, guide you, watch over you, and help you.
Thank you very much. And the next question is from Blaje. Is it then the case that if we spend too much time on things that are not concerned with growth, that the higher self also ensures that we grow through crisis, or is it just the soul?
It's not the higher self that chooses you to grow through crisis. So that's the only option you've left. It's the soul that's trying to reach you through the cracks and crevices in your life. You can't find one crevice, use another. Uncharted moments let it in, but then so does crisis. It'll get in any way it can. That is more of the soul. This whole need to grow is something we've chosen in the first place. You know, we wouldn't be here if we hadn't chosen to grow. But people forget that. The reason they stop growing is because there's something they don't want to see. In other words, they feel unforgivable. If you've done something inside yourself that's separated from yourself and you feel unforgivable, you'd rather not see. Otherwise, you're stuck. If you see something but they can't do anything about it, then you're stuck in it, aren't you? You'd rather not know it. It's where people stop growing. They lose drive to grow because it's something they don't want to see. Otherwise, it's natural. We all want to grow because it's fun. Fun is in that expansion. When you're no longer growing, you're missing out on all of the fun. And of course, there are many forms of growth. It doesn't always have to be spiritual. So they can do that with material sport, you know, sports and abilities, artistic abilities, all these different things. They do actually bring a spirituality in the end because of the feeling they give you, because you're expanding. This is why a lot of people wake up to spirituality in other ways. We all wake up eventually. And sometimes it comes later because you actually have other things which cause an expansive experience and you find a spirituality within that. So all expansion does lead you there, whichever form it takes. The higher self is not the bit that's choosing that to make you grow through struggle though, or crisis. That's simply the soul trying to find any way to get in that can, because it wants to end that separation.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say for many of people who, you know, when there's something happening in your life and it's easy to say no, but you know, the right thing is to say yes, even though it might create some drama or some chaos or some learnings along the way. You know that yes is the right, is the preferred answer above no, even though no would be the easy thing to say, right?
Well, you always find in many ways it's easier to sit in front of the telly, stagnating, and go out and find a challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
People go for the easy life rather than actually the thing which makes them live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You say no rather than saying yes, because the yes is it brings everything that comes with that challenge, right? Okay, so the next question is, where does the super jazz fit in? Where does it fit in, please, Peter?
It's a high level codem. All codems are within the higher self, but actually the personal ones are. Super jagged angel is an angelic codem king. Now, codems are generally things between jinn and angels. Jinn are spirits, well, they're not necessarily always friendly to us because they're very highly individualized, but they have certain magic that we need because we've separated from it. Jinn can help a lot of the magic. Angels are actually much higher level. They look after the sort of needs of the soul. They remember your spiritual needs rather than your material needs. In between, you've got the codems. They also have a hierarchy because you have the super jagged angel is an angelic codem king. Under there's many codems. The whole purpose of the super jagged angel is you've got now many codems. You can do a lot more than you could with one codem. You see, it adds more power. Now, as I said, the higher self is infinitely powerful. So therefore, all this is within the higher self. But there are places where your higher self overlaps with others, because we're one. So at some point, you know, as you expand and find all your different past lives and future lives and everything, you begin to find more about your relationships to others as well. There are things we share. Many of these spiritual beings we share. So the super jagged angel is beyond the personal codem. It's codem king, which watches over many codems. Therefore, it's not individual to you, but you can connect with it to Hashem, so you can be given many more codems.
Thank you. And you are talking about the higher self, obviously, in its purpose today. Could you please make a link to today's conversation and what it is that we are going to be learning in the workshop that's going to precede this conversation?
Workshop, you're going to actually be connecting. I'll be taking some exercise meditations to actually build a powerful connection. We'll be getting some attunements as well to actually tune your crown chakra in, make a strong connection so you can actually get that guidance and be be let power coming in. So the workshop this time is a very practical one.
Wonderful. So there's going to be some connections and some achievements happening. So if any of you are part of the magical membership student thing, I could never remember the name. If you're part of that, if you're part of us, then please do join us, because what you're going to do is exactly that. You're going to be connected to your higher self on a much more in-depth and personal level. If you are not part of our membership, it doesn't mean that you have to miss out. So please do follow the link that is going to be put in the chat right now so that you can join us still on this workshop today and enjoy the connection with your higher self. So thank you very much, Peter, for explaining that. Can you please say, can we say that the higher self should be personified as our chosen deity, Ishta Devata?
You can be seen as a personal deity, yes. That's how it's seen in the Kuhuna tradition. Domaku is like a personal god, or what they call the totally trustworthy spirit. But it is individual. It's not like any other deity. You see, what happens usually within a tradition, there's one particular deity, which is your guide. But obviously, many people have that deity, so it's not as individual as our self. Our self is just yours, it's not somebody else's. But it is like a personal god, yeah.
So today is all about the higher self, so please come and join us in the workshop that is going to be taking place later on this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are. Peter, next question. How do you describe the chakra? How you describe the chakras seems different from what we see on other descriptions. Do you have a link for the different chakras in the way that you describe? Is it because you are looking at all 12 chakras? Is the eighth chakra and the earth star chakra, the ninth chakra, the soul star chakra? I think there's some clarity required around how you look at the chakras and describe them versus anybody else in any traditional system or any other system that is out there, because there is some, not necessarily challenge, but there might be some... what's the word I'm looking for? You're not saying the same as other people.
It will be, yes.
Conflict.
At the same time,
conflict,
people jump. People jump on the bandwagons as well.
Yeah.
Once I'm described one thing, everybody jumps on the bandwagon and use the same name. If you look in tradition, there's actually only 7 chakras. However, they were manifesting more than one place. So let's look at how they fit in. First of all, the oneness splits into a spectrum of 7, just like a rainbow. 7 individual vibrations, individual colors. Now, the change of vibration of light can be infinitely variable. So why is there suddenly 7 colors? These bands reason to fit in, divide into frequencies. Each one has a range of frequencies, which is same with the same color. But it seems to happen that when you divide in, split up, it forms 7. So first of all, when we separate from source, we exist as a vortex. Because out of that oneness, out of pure awareness, the nothingness begins to move. The first move is a spin. The vortex is pure awareness. In Egyptian mythology, that was called Sia. That gives rise to Hekar magic. When it comes to the throat chakra, it becomes Hu, divine utterance of spells that actually work the magic and make things happen. So the first movement is like a spin. So when the pure awareness moves, we first exist as a single spin. As we come into matter and subdivide, we create 7 spins, all out of one really. It's only one, but now it's manifesting as 7. However, there's no time and space yet. When it comes into a body, there's different places these things can manifest according to their nature. Simple example, your base chakra is security. That can be seen as the base of your spine where you sit. You can be seen in your feet where you stand. You can be seen as your hands where you grasp. Same chakra. So sometimes, you know, you see these 7 manifesting differently. It can be like, as you know, in the body, 1, 2, up the solar plexus, heart, and so on. They also can start in the feet, 2nd one in the ankle, 3rd one in the calf, 4th in the knee, 5th in the hip, 6th and 7th, always 2 here. It can be in the hand, 1, 2, 3, 4th in the elbow, 5th in the shoulder, and you've got 6 and 7 again. Or it can actually be below the feet. You see in the earth in which you stand, that's the first chakra. Security. 2nd again is here, because that's also primal creativity, but it's on a higher level. 3rd is here, then you've got 4, 5, 6, 7 going above the head, which is then what forms 9, 10, 11, and 12. So you see, although we number them differently, it's the same chakras manifesting differently. This is where you get confusion, because the same chakras can manifest in different places. We understand the nature of the chakras, you can understand there are different layers, different levels of those expressions. Love can be within you, it can be seen something above you reaching to. So whereas this is a fourth chakra, the fourth is always the one above here. And so on. So you understand that each chakra can manifest in a different place and therefore has a different level of that chakra. So there's only seven, but they can be divided in so many different areas according to how it manifests. For the purpose of describing where the higher self is, I'd like to use a 12 chakra system, because it's like you're using the, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you've got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Using both systems as one, then it makes 12. These two are always in the same place, by the way. But then there's, you know, the base can be in the base of the spine, it can be on the feet. Second, be the navel, source can be linked to here, because this is also where they have creativity. Third, the solar plexus can also be here, because it's about connectedness. Connected to others, connected to spirits and to higher self and God and so on. All about connectedness, you see. So the different qualities of the chakras, there's only seven of those expressions, but they, each of those seven has different expressions. That's why there's going to be confusion. When people try to make a fixed system and say there's so many chakras, this way you get stuck, become rigid. You ought to be more flexible. These seven basic vibrations can manifest in different ways. Therefore, you can use different systems at different times according to how they're useful. Right now, it's useful to explain the 12 chakra system, because this is where our higher self fits in. But you see, the solar plexus is also linked to the crown, because that's connectedness. We go right to the higher self itself. That's a different form of connectedness. That's your connected to the one. From the higher self's point of view, you're connected to God again, the one with everything. Right now, from here, we're connected to our higher self. Different level, you see.
Now, you may have already explained this, so please let me know if you have, and we will move on to the next. But could you please differentiate between the HGA and the ASMAC CODAM? I don't know what HGA stands for, so apologies for that.
Holy Guardian Angel is often seen as higher self as well, different name, because again, it depends on the system. The definition might vary slightly according to what they put, what is they put into that, but the higher self is like everything we can reach. Often they say it's a holy guardian and angel, because it's actually, it is a greater part, like an angel watching over us. But it also, it's more, it contains all those things. So ASMAC CODAM, again, it can be, it's like a guardian angel. You see, if you want to be pure about it, an angel is actually beyond individual nature, but they're vast forces. The angels we have personally are not really angels, those are CODAMs. The personal angels are CODAMs, basically, that which serves us, servers, helpers, servants. An angel is more universal. Therefore, an individual guardian angel is a CODAM. Therefore, our holy guardian angel is our main CODAM. That is like ASMAC CODAM, our first one CODAM. That we can add many to that, just like when you have a holy guardian angel, you can have different deities that you work with, which add to your power and what you can do as you co-create with all of them. So it's a similar thing, different system, therefore different name, different way of describing it.
Thank you. And can our higher self come to us in a way that looks like form? The other day in a meditation, a woman called the Lady of the Sun came to me, and she was working with my inner child. So is this possible, please, Peter?
Oh, yes. We will be working with that. We're going to personify it as well. It's useful to work with the higher self in both ways, as a non-personified, just a vast force, and also as a personified form that you can talk to. It makes it more intimate, you see. And they can come into meditations with your inner child and everything else to help with it. They can help heal all different parts of yourself. You can help mature your ego. You can heal your inner child. You can work with every other part of yourself as well.
Thank you very much. And then, oh, I'm just scrolling down to the next lot of questions. Please bear with me. I have a query regarding the higher self. In the article, it says that the higher self is still aware of its choice in the reincarnation and that it carries out its plan. But what if you are now unhappy on a conscious level with that choice? Is there a way of overriding the higher self program? What a wonderful question.
The higher self doesn't make bad choices.
I'm sure we all sat here, many of us, and go, what
The higher self has not made any bad choices. Those are yours, really separated. Her self choice is about coming to your power, about creating your reality, you know, all the wonderful things you aim to do, the real dreams. The bad stuff is not your higher self's choice. When I say the higher self is aware of its choice, yes, it's aware of what you've come here to do. You didn't come here to suffer. You didn't come here to struggle and fail. That's not what you're here for. That's where you've gone wrong. That's not your higher self. The higher self doesn't do failure, doesn't do struggle and suffering. Challenge, yes, but that's not the same as struggle. I'm saying challenge there to expand you, become more. It's fun.
Yeah. I think that's the key, right? And that's one of the key of the lessons of everything that you teach, is that anything that we face is not to be seen as struggle, it's to be seen as challenge, right? And
no, something's joy, struggle. Something's our struggle, but that's a bad choice. It's not our self's choice. When you give up your power, you're struggling. When you got your power back, it's less of a struggle because you can actually achieve more.
But there is always joy in overcoming that struggle or finding the solution to that challenge.
That's
right?
No longer struggle, then, is it? That's challenge.
Exactly.
Struggle grinds you down. Yeah. You get more and more worn down, you don't become more.
So there is an indication at that point, if you feel that you are struggling, then there needs to be either a change of perception or there needs to be a change of whatever. What would that thing
be? It can be many things. First, you might need more power. It might be another choice you need to change. You see, you struggle when you have that power to actually deal with what you've got in front of you. But also choices. Past choices have put you in the wrong place. So those are the first two things you look for. Of course, your higher self can connect with those as well. When you meditation, talk to your higher self, they can actually point to you where you made bad choices and what you need to change.
Wonderful, thank you. Someone is asking, can you please write the poem in the chat? I'm not sure what poem they are referring to because I was mildly late.
I'll put it in, yes, and we'll add it later, yeah.
What poem is that, please, Peter?
When I just told, and I gave him about, you'll see it in a minute.
Okay.
And wish me, everyone, put that in.
Thank you. If anyone's got any other questions whilst Peter is typing that into the chat, please do ask, whether it be related to today's topic or whether it be completely unrelated to today's topic. It does not matter. I will ask anyway. Just make sure you pop it in the chat. And I, when it gets to that point, I will ask away. Thank you. And in the meantime, whilst Peter is doing that, please do remember that after this call today, we have the next magical membership workshop, which is happening with regards to connecting more to your higher self. You have the ability to join, even if you're not part of the membership. It does not matter. You can come and join us today. The link will be put in the chat. And if you are part of the membership, then please do make sure that you have registered so that you can get the link to join us, which will be at 30 minutes past the next hour. If you don't know how to do that, please check your inbox and the link will be there for you to click, and then you can come and join us exactly the same as every other month.
There we go.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Peter. So those of you that were asking, that poem has been put into the chat now, so please copy and paste if that's what you want to do. Please copy and paste the poem, because yes, this chat will be saved and it will be shared with the recording, but if you want to use it, then please do copy and
I might write it in the MeWe group as well, make it easier.
That would be wonderful if you would like to do that. Thank you very much. Okay, so moving on. Is there a way of overriding magical membership workshops? Is there a difference in results when doing visualizations or journeys with eyes open or closed? For example, I was under the impression that the eyes closed processes are working on the astral and the eyes open is just daydreaming. Could you please clarify or give some advice?
Not necessarily, but it is easier the eyes closed because then the rest of the world isn't distracting you. Now, it's true when you daydream, you can actually have your eyes open but not notice what's around you because you're in another world. So that'll work just as well if you can get there. Most of the time when you're actually doing it consciously, you need to close your eyes and get into that space. You know, daydreaming is something you do automatically. And in a way, you are in that theta state of dream state with your eyes open. That's where you're daydreaming. You know, you, when you're daydreaming, there's things in front of you you're not seeing because you're somewhere else. When you're actually practicing visualization, it's easy if you close your eyes. So those distractions are taken away. Because in the theta state, in a dream state, you're not in the illusion anymore. Therefore, take the distractions away. You close your eyes, relax, so you can actually turn inwards to another world.
And just to confirm to anybody that is considering joining us in the workshop that happens after today's Q&A call, that it does start at 30 minutes past the next hour. For us, that would be 5:30. I don't know where you are in the world. It might be 11:30, it might be 12:30, but it does start at 30 minutes past the hour. So you still have time to join us and enroll in the link that is being shared with you. Okay, let's move on to the next question. I'm certainly confused with all of the time zones, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. How are the cobras, by the way? Were they all right?
No, we didn't go there after all.
Oh, no.
No, we did. We just had other things to do. We found another nice place to do stuff.
Okay, good. For those of you that are not sure, Peter and I were on the island of Koh Samui yesterday. I came back to Koh Phangan today. Peter decided to stay and wanted to do some tourist things. So let's move on. How is our intuition connected to the higher self? How do I separate the messages of intuition and the higher self?
You don't need to separate them. The important thing is that it's right. You see, there's many ways messages come to us, and it all comes to the higher self because the higher self knows everything. But it might not always be direct. It might come through reflection, through symbols, through cards, whatever you want to do to actually get messages through, or dreams, anything. As long as you get the message, it doesn't really matter. It's only the ego which differentiates as one thing's better than another. You sometimes, you know, you might be imagining something, what I'm seeing there isn't really my house, it's pure fantasy. Yet through that fantasy, you might get the right messages coming through. So it's okay. I can actually just invent some imaginary friend I'm talking to. If it triggers intuition, I get the right message, that's okay too. Higher self is there somewhere. It's all coming through the higher self, but it might come through other tools. Whatever we need to get the message is okay. Now, we all have different triggers in a way. Some people do it through dreams, some people through divination, some people through meditation, get a nice clear chat. Others need to have the mind put aside through something else for the message to clear. So we have very complex ways of getting there. And as long as you get the message, that's all that matters. You don't need to try and separate it because actually in the end, it comes from your higher self. Person of the party that knows everything. If it comes to the higher self, it's going to be right. And it should be right with the way it comes. If it's not right, it's not intuition.
And may I ask, not me, obviously somebody else, may they ask, how to protect a baby? I have a newborn and doing already psionics on her every single day. Are babies under parents' field or aura for protection? Question. And why do babies are already, why are babies under attack already? Why does the higher self not protect us both?
You'd be surprised how much it does protect you. You see, even when you were in the womb, actually in an incredibly hostile environment, if it wasn't the higher self, you'd be prone to all kinds of stuff. Trouble is, in our evolution, we become so complex, we can't complete our growth before being born. We're not really ready to be here. That's why you dream so much. The baby sleeps not because it needs to rest, but because it needs to dream. The brain's still developing. Therefore, it doesn't really want to be outside its mother's womb, but it's run out of space. It needs to be in its parents' aura. Because it's still dreaming and developing, it's very open to influences around it. So it's natural that it should still be in the parents' aura. It's not ready to be out on its own yet. That's why it needs protection. In your parents' aura, it's fine. If it's not in your aura and you leave somewhere else, you need something else to protect it. Traditionally, we use tree spirits for that. I've got a tree spirit, particularly the hawthorn, make it protecting children, to put that by it so it's watching over it. There are many helpful spirits out there. You can actually call a codem for the child too and put it there so it's protected.
I think they're going to have a shame.
So, yeah. So basically, if it's not its parents, already need some form of protection.
Thank you very much. And the link to the latest Higher Self blog has been added to the chat. So, of course, you can have a look there. Next question that has come in is there a relation between you, your higher self, and your personal dragons? Because their names I received in your fairy course and dragon course seem connected. They have the same theme or power. So Peter, please, can you explain what is this type of connection that some of us might be experiencing?
Well, what happens if you get into dragon magic, you start seeing the dragon form of most things. You see, dragon is our highest form. It represents the risen kundalini. You've got that great serpent power and the fire rises. That's what dragon is about. Risen Kundalini. Therefore, it's before the human form. It's like that's what it's like. Long ago, all the gods are seen as dragons. You look at the old Babylonian myths. Before they became humanoid, gods used to be dragons. That's how people see them. Gradually, they wanted to make them look more friendly and easy to talk to, so they made them more human-like. But why should they be human? They're not. We tend to personify things as human to make it easy to communicate with. The earlier forms of dragon. It'd be the same with the higher self. Now, the different individual dragons you meet on the course are always individual, whereas higher self is everything. Therefore, they're not higher self as such. But they might personify as one overall dragon, embracing everything, which is your higher self. Quite often when you start with the dragon magic and embracing that form, many of the gods in your higher self come in that form because that's more natural to them. It's a more powerful form. See, quite often if you're talking to it like a humanoid form, you're eliminating it because you see him as human. Therefore, don't see the full power. See, here's the problem. You may find this works with many relationships around you as well. Anything that comes too close to you, you don't value as much because you don't value yourself. If somebody loves you and don't feel lovable, then they go down in your eyes. You say, well, they can't be good if they love me. We do this all the time. Same with if you personify a higher self as human, think, oh, now they're human, they're not really good. You want to see them in a more powerful form because our own limitations stop, you know, putting blockages in the way there.
Thank you very much. Hi, Peter. This is from Stefan. Have you watched the, probably not. Have you watched the initiation series on Gaia with Matthias de Stefano? I was curious of what you think of his material.
I'm afraid I haven't watched that.
No, as he covers a lot of similar topics as yourself, such as Atlantis, the star systems, portals, etc. Stefan, I always wonder the same thing as well. I personally have not watched his series, but whenever I'm on YouTube, I get an advert for him. And I always do wonder, the authenticity of what it is that he is teaching. So you don't know him then, Peter? You don't know of
him? No, I haven't actually watched that series, so I don't really know what you're talking about. But you know, there's many things out there, people intuitively picking up what's happening. So there's often lots of information within many things.
Yeah. My concern is that he's on massive mainstream media, like as in the Gaia channel. And right. So if he's being presented on the Gaia channel, really, to what degree is he talking about truth and authenticity, you know? Because I think that they're all being infiltrated in some way or the other.
To a degree. But also if you talk to the masses, you've got to be in a way they can understand.
Yeah.
Some of the higher truths are given not actually for everybody to understand, and nobody's ready. But one has to really expand oneself. Anything you're talking to the masses is going to be on a more limited mindset for them to work with.
So it's not that they're lying, they're just not embellishing on what really is.
They're talking on a different level, that's all. They're talking still on a more human level where people can understand that.
Exactly.
And yet, the trouble with that is it's like you have to expand yourself to understand. It's no good trying to understand things with the mindset you've got now.
Yeah, and I think we've been in that position, all of us, in one way or another. It doesn't matter whether it be with Peter's teachings, whether it be with somebody else. You hear something and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Mm. And give it 1 year, 2 years, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you realise.
It gets you thinking, doesn't it?
Talking about, yes, exactly.
It gets you out of the box, makes you think and expand.
Yeah, and then when you're ready, all of a sudden it makes sense. And that's when you know that the expansion has taken place because you now know what they mean. Mm. Oh gosh, that's my life. Anyway, let's move on to serpents. Please, Peter. Oh no, that's you. When the serpent dances, the stones will sing. In the mysterious metaphor, the search for the ones will begin. Crafting the life you wanted, a never-ending dance, is the magician's response to the longing for romance or romance. Wonderful, such a powerful poem. Thank you. And if someone did not copy and paste it from the chat, where could they find this
poem? I'll put it in the MeWe later on. I'll put it in the MeWe group.
that would be great. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to the next question then. And if you have any questions regarding today's topic or any other topic, then please do pop them in the chat. And don't forget, we do have the workshop that is going to be happening after today's Q&A. So let's continue. Oh gosh, I'm just reduce my thing. Right, what you said just now, Peter, the higher self doesn't do failure.
Nope.
Challenge, yes, but not struggle. Well, then when you give your power away, you struggle. If you are struggling, then you need change of perception. You might need more power or a choice
back,
that
first of
needs
all.
To change. So whoever this person is, they have understood what you're saying. Mm. Pretty much my whole life has been a struggle since birth with many unfortunate events happening over, which I have had no control. Both parents died in 2020 and in the middle of the lockdown with shitty relatives who made life worse rather than better. Then I wanted to go out and socialize and the government prevented me from enjoying life as the doors were closed. So this is my soul, which has decided that this crap, and how can the higher self help me in any way with all of this? I think what this person is saying is, why the hell did we bloody choose this? And what on earth are we meant to do with it all?
You remember, we didn't choose everything. Although the choice is the most powerful force in our lives, we still have an impact upon each other. And this is something we have to remember. A lot of people, when they get into New Age, deny impact. And this is nonsense as well. It's like, for instance, if I say you create your own reality, then I deny my impact. It's like, yeah, you create your reality, but if I punch you in the nose, it's still my fault. Otherwise, what people do in the New Age is, I might hit in the nose and say, well, his nose is bleeding. And we say, you just hit me. He says, what are you talking about? You create your own reality. No, we have impact towards as well. And that's part of our creation of reality. We create this thing called impact, which means we affect each other. That's part of the game we're playing. And people come and take your power away, but you can take it back. That's the game. All these people, the government, everybody has taken power from you. That's what they're doing. They're taking choices away. They're taking away your power. So that's where I put this course out, take back your power first, the freebie. Everybody needs to take the power back. All the people around you who've taken it from government, particular religions, school teachers, all these authorities throughout your life have taken power away. It's no wonder you can't get anywhere. So much power's been taken. You've got to go through it all and take it all back. Then you feel a lot stronger. Then you feel more capable of actually creating your own reality. See, once you actually have been so downtrodden by the people, you don't feel anymore you can create your own reality. Because all you're seeing is life as a victim. Everybody's doing it to you. Then you haven't got the power to change it anymore. You have to take it back first, step by step. You probably won't take it all back at once because you haven't even got the power to do that. You take a bit back each day, and sooner or later you feel strong enough to do more. And you then begin to realize, you begin to feel your power, and now you can make a difference. That comes by taking your power back. That's always the first step. Your higher self can help with that as well. You can sit with the higher self and co-create with them and say, help me take my power back. And then you and your higher self together can take it back from everybody. And you feel stronger even quicker. But yeah, that's about power loss. It's not necessarily a choice, but well, let's put it this way. Something is responsible for creating. Something is responsible for allowing. You didn't create them taking your power away, but you did allow them to. And maybe it's because you didn't know any better at the time. You didn't have the power to resist them. You didn't have the knowledge. But for whatever reason, you allowed it rather than created it. Allowing can be seen as a more passive way of creating, but it's still different from creating it. It's not all you doing it, but certain things you've allowed because people have impact upon you. So rather than actually intellectualize around that and say whose fault it is, nobody's fault, just take your power back. As you take all your power back, you feel stronger to do everything else with. And your higher self will help you get stronger faster.
And can you put a higher self in a terms of Vedic systems? Would I be the Atman, the world god, is Brahman or Ishwara god in creation on personal level, on a personal level? So,
good question. Atman is more soul. Brahman would be more higher self because it's the creative part. So that would fit most closely, I'd say. It actually, obviously, there's so many different parts. See, the Hindu system, the Vedic system gets even more complex. You know, they don't just have seven levels. Each of those seven has seven within it. So they have 14, 49 layers of soul. So, you know, it gets more complex, but actually the term higher self can mean so many things. I've said I'm using actually the definition of the Kuna Yomakua, which is that that greater part of yourself, which is one with God, basically, which is, has everything. In the Vedic system, I think the closest thing to that would be the Brahma. Atman is the soul rather than higher self.
And your new ritual and high magic course, you've released that today. I don't know if you spoke about it right at the beginning because obviously I wasn't there.
But it's there now.
Have you spoken about it? Yeah.
We haven't spoken about it yet, though.
No. Okay. All right. Then we won't talk about that right now. Mm-hmm. Do it at the end. Let me get back up. All right. So next question.
Yeah, there's a link there for the Take Back Your Power course.
Yeah, the Take Back Your Power course is, I'm sure everyone is fully aware of that. And there are two versions of, there is level one and there is level two. And the links will be put in the chat right now. But obviously we need to talk about the high magic that is coming, that will come. Because we did say last month that we would talk about high magic. So bear with us while we continue to talk about the high self. And then we will let you all know about high magic and what is going to be happening tomorrow on tomorrow's call. Right. Next question, please, Peter. I have been taking Please wait. No, that's not right. Can I contact the higher self or others? Or is it limited to just the soul being able to contact the higher self of others?
No,
of
your higher self can do anything. Therefore, once you're in touch with your higher self, you can communicate with others through it, because your higher self is capable of anything. So basically, yes. But I actually do this all the time in attunements. When I send you attunement, I actually make sure your higher self has got it, so it knows it's how to help you integrate it as well. So it's quite a normal thing to do. It's very useful in healings and everything to actually work with your higher self at the same time, because your higher self will help you integrate what's happening. So yeah, it's not difficult. If you're in touch with your higher self, you can then through that you connect to other people's higher self as well.
And when using the tarot to get more accurate answers, would it be best then to go into meditation with the higher self to interpret the reading rather than taking our first hunch with the tarot?
The thing with tarot and any other system of divination, it's supposed to trigger a change of consciousness according to how deep a connection you have with those cards. You know, you put the cards down and suddenly they start telling you a story. If you're still stretching it, trying to figure out logically, you're not quite there. You've got to allow something else to unfold that's beyond what the obvious. There's a hidden story behind the cards, as it were. There's a spirit speaking to you. So you have to allow intuition to function. Don't do it too rationally. There should be like a change of consciousness anyway. You shift to a different space while doing any form of divination. That gives you kind of more clarity, and the things just come. You understand, you see, and you know.
Could you please explain what's going on when we go into states of unconsciousness when in a meditation we're doing a process where we are blocking something that we are afraid of or don't want to know?
Well, first of all, when we do these journeys, the brain has to be calibrated to a new depth. Otherwise, you can't bring it back. What often happens, you're actually going there, but you can't bring the memory back because your brain's not yet calibrated there. So you don't think you've been there. But actually, you have. You're changing. When you go there again, the brain's a bit more calibrated. You bring it more back each time. So sometimes you have to do the journey a few times before you actually remember it fully. This is quite normal. Anytime you actually go through growth and change, the mind and the brain have to be recalibrated. That's why you have these patches where you just blot out and don't know what's happening. You are changing anyway, you're simply not aware of it. So do it again. When you've done it a few times, you remember and it gets clearer.
A former person close to me, not me, obviously this is representing the question in, a former person close to me once told me that everything I do is fantasy. And because of that, I am confused and I've had a hard time distinguishing what is real or fantasy. Could you please talk again about imagination and what exactly we can do with it and distinguish what is our imagination and what is, for example, an inspiration or a download? Or should I just put the down or should I just put this down and create what I believe in? So a little bit of distinguishing, I was going to say distinguination, I don't think that's a word. So a little bit of distinguishing, please, Peter, if you could help us all understand the difference between what is our higher self is higher self desires versus daydreams versus blah 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 blah.
Okay, first let's go back to the scene of fantasy and imagination and realness. Well, when somebody's telling you, what gives him the right to tell you what's real? How does he know? How do you know he knows anything? So why would you listen? Nobody else around you knows more what's real than you do. They have fixed ideas, what they've been told. They haven't looked outside the box. Therefore, most of it is rubbish. It's come from the same limitation that a thousand people could tell you, and it's actually meaningless. So first of all, look at how much he's adding his confusion to you. He doesn't like you to be outside his box. Therefore, he's crushing your spirit. He's disempowering you. Therefore, first thing you do is take your power back. He's also shaming you, trying to say your imagination, which is a powerful tool, is worthless. Give him his shame back. These are the first thing you have to do, because that's what's blocking you. Disempowerment and shame. Your higher self, your imagination is the most powerful tool. Absolutely everything around us is created by imagination. Now, fantasy alone isn't enough. Fantasy has to be balanced with wisdom. See, some fantasies that are just to sharpen the imagination. Because it's a powerful tool, we have to sharpen it now, then, don't we? So we have fantasies. A lot of our fantasies simply stretch the imagination. They're not all things we're going to actually manifest. Wisdom tells you the difference. You think things through, you actually feel, where can this go? Is this just a fantasy that's stretching my imagination because I need to stretch it and expand it and sharpen it? Or am I actually going to create something? But never knock the imagination. It is the most powerful tool. Everything's created out of it. And people often ask this question, you know, in the meditation, how do I know it's not just imagination? What do you mean just imagination? Everything is imagination. It's powerful. This, everything around me is his imagination too. So what's the difference? So yeah, it is imagination. But imagination is what's creating your reality. It's your most powerful tool. So don't knock it. Don't say just imagination. That's really trying to diminish this powerful tool. So when someone just tries to tell you what's real and they're trying to, you know, tell you everything else you're doing is fantasy, that's just crushing your path because they want to put you in the same box they're in. Because they haven't got the courage to reach out of it. Mm. It's their cowardice that's holding them back. They project this onto you. It's pure cowardice to stay inside the box, not want to look beyond it, because it's easier. I say it's not much different from sitting in front of the telly rather than going out and meeting challenges. Comfortable in this little box. I don't want to go outside it. Therefore, make sure you stay in the same box because it won't threaten me. That's what they're doing. So first of all, let us know these people really know what's real. Don't listen to them. Give them back their shame, take back your power, and you feel much better.
Thank you. So regarding the dragon, you said that it was the highest form. I am a fire, not me, this obviously the person. I am a fire dragon in the Chinese zodiac, and I certainly haven't noticed this energy or magic to help me attract what I want in my life. Quite the contrary. So then, Peter, how does this work?
Magic gets hidden. Often it's most hidden behind the martyr. Now, martyrhood is a complicated thing we all get to face. We deal with that in some of the healing courses as well. See, a martyr basically creates your own reality, makes it look like somebody else is doing it. That's an incredible sleight of hand. Very clever magician. What's really happening is you're not owning the magic yet. When you begin to really look, you're going to see that all this happening around you is your creation. When you go into it, you look at the thoughts, the beliefs they're creating it, and realize, yes, it's all pretty consistent. Certain thoughts and feelings and beliefs are creating a certain reality all the time. There's consistency in that when you really look. But you want to make it look like somebody else is doing it. That's the trickery of the magician. That's what martyrhood does. The martyr is always trying to feel overburdened, misunderstood, unappreciated, always somebody else is to blame. That's all like a clever trick of the adolescent. The adolescent is the natural martyr because when you're a child, you want perfect love and don't get it. Time you get to adolescent, you've given up on love. You want perfect understanding. You want to be right. This is quite what's happening in martyrhood. You practically die for your cause. I'll do all this and I'll fail and lose everything as long as I have to be right. I'll stick to my guns. That's what martyrhood does. Therefore, it's not me who's wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. So you create your own reality and make it look like somebody else is doing it. That's the magician. Very tricky. You need to reel it from behind the martyr.
And on that note, we've gone beyond our time today, and there are still some questions that are in the chat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste these questions and pop them in the Lumi chat.
Okay.
So please, at a later time, it would be wonderful if you could answer these questions. So if you have put a question in the chat and it has not been presented to Peter, then please do go and check in our Lumi group. But you need to be a student of that Lumi group to be able to join us. So just let us know what course you have joined, and Peter will be answering your questions anyway. So Peter, anything that you would like to say about the upcoming workshop that is going to happen in 20 minutes?
Well, no, it'll take time, and I think people need 20 minutes to prepare. I said enough, you know, you've got the idea of the higher self. All we're going to be doing is doing practical stuff to actually tune you to it, help you to actually get into it and become more and talk to it and let its power in and co-create with it.
Wonderful. So if you are part of our magical
magical membership or something.
Membership. Yeah. If you are part of our group, then come and join us in 20 minutes because you know it's going to be powerful. They always are. And if you want a hot seat, let me know. Message me in MeWe, message me on WhatsApp, however you're in contact with me. Let me know if you want a hot seat with Peter on our higher self workshop that's going to happen in 20 minutes.
Dogs come in.
Please, too. The dogs come in. I don't even know where my dog is. I've got absolutely no idea. I fed your dog last night, by the way. I've got no idea where my dog is. Yeah, that's that. we're all dogged out. So come and join us in 20 minutes. Please do. And if any of you have already purchased a course with Peter, you know that we have the students' call tomorrow happening at the same time, 4 o'clock in Thailand, 10 o'clock in England. Peter, what are you talking about tomorrow, please?
Liminal. And it's hard to say much about that, but basically liminal means in between. We're going to talk about what that means in the terms of higher magic and the power in that space and all the things you can get from there.
If someone comes to the call tomorrow, Peter, what's the benefit to them? Why should they join us tomorrow? What would they get to get?
It'll really help you understand the higher magic fund thing, because that actually works in the liminal space, to understand that between different realms, between being in time and space and outside time and space, there's an in-between. That in between is vast and infinite. That's where the power lies. It's what you need to understand, how to be in between.
And in this in between, there's no pain. There's no. there's no shit, right? It's just joy. Wonderful. And then, please, Peter, can you tell us? We were taught last month about the high magic course that is going to be available and is now available to people. So there's two things that we need to talk about here. First of all, it's the prerequisites to the high magic. And the second thing that you need to talk about, Peter, is the high magic itself. Why, what, how much, who's it for, etc. So first of all, can you please give us the lead up to the high magic?
Well, you need to have done the fairy, dragon and darkness courses first, because it's basically a more advanced level. Each of these courses is taking you deeper into what magic is. High magic takes you right into that depth where you can actually do anything just with a choice. You know, it's like what the rest is called, most stages of getting there. High magic is a point where you bypass all technique. You make a choice and it happens. And so it's a series of initiations to get you into that. So we need to have done the previous work because, you know, you need to understand the other, the fairy realm, those other things which actually get into the imaginal realm. So when we go there, you know, that we can gradually get into that space of power. It's a series of initiations, there's 7 of them, to take you gradually into that space to wake up the higher magician within.
And why should someone be purchasing this course right now?
Because
even if they've not done, even if they've not done the others,
do the others
they
first.
Have done, yeah, but do why now?
It's not really about now, it's apart from that's when you're putting it out, but it's because we are getting to a point where the world is changing fast and you want to step into magic fast. This is actually a really powerful one. It's going to take you deeper into that magic, but obviously don't jump the other courses to get there. You have you need the prerequisites. But basically you do it because you want to expand more. You want more magic, you want more touch with the higher self, more of everything. You keep going because it's fun. It's joy to expand.
I don't know if it's fun. To find fun. Oh gosh.
It comes with a challenge.
Yeah, there are many. there are many people on this call, and certainly there will be many people on the call tomorrow that will be giggling or not with me going, I don't know if this is fun, if this is what I signed up for or not. all right, so high magic. There are the prerequisites to the course. The high magic course is available for purchase now. Peter, can you please tell us anything? Well, actually, I'll tell it. So the high magic is launching at $147 for the next 7 days, and then it will go back up to the regular price of $177 after that. So you've got 7 days to get it at $147. And it doesn't matter if you've done the dragon magic, the fairy magic, the elves, etc. You can still buy the course and have it sat there ready and waiting for you until you've completed the other courses first. And I can attest to this. I have completed the other courses, the dragons, the fairies, the dark elves, and still high magic was over my head a little bit. So there certainly is, there's no point in chasing to go to high magic first. You really, really, really need to do the other work first. But now is your opportunity to grab the high magic at that price and know that having that high magic course in your inbox is the motivation to complete the other courses, because you know you're going to go to the next level if you have not already done so. So even if you've worked with dragons, if you've worked with fairies for however long, high magic is your next port of call. Can we still buy it though to hang on? We can still buy it though to get the early. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I just answered your question. Of course, you can buy it now.
Like all of them,
and then catch up in your own time. Yeah, absolutely. Do it. And which is what I've just said. I highly recommend that you don't do the course now just because you've got it. Buy it and then wait until you're ready.
Anyway, running out of time, we're going to start the next one soon. So we need to have a little break.
And are we able to attend the higher self session this afternoon? Of course, you can. The link has been put in the chat. So, Peter, you're going to go. We're going to have a break. Everyone else is going to have a break. And we are going to join back in however many minutes.
You've got 13 minutes left now.
We've got 13 minutes left. We're joining back in 13 minutes. So,
okay.
Goodbye. And see you all in 13 minutes.
See you soon.
Have a wonderful.